As I said at the beginning of the service, today is the beginning of the church or Christian year, being Advent Sunday. And of course it is the beginning of the season of Advent, the period that precedes, the period preceding the festival of Christmas. If you wonder why Advent particularly starts today, it's because there are always four Sundays before Christmas. And therefore Advent can begin any time between the 27th of November and the 3rd of December, contrary to what most Advent calendar manufacturers believe, who always think that Advent begins on the 1st of December. It doesn't, it only occasionally does that. What is Advent? What's its origin? Well, in many respects it's similar to the season of Lent. We use the same colour. Same liturgical colour, purple or sometimes more of a blue. Lent, of course, precedes Easter, a period of fasting and preparation, and originally a period of fasting and preparation for new adult converts to Christianity who were then baptised on Easter Day. So in the life of the early first few centuries of the Christian Church, Advent became a season of preparation for new converts who were baptized on the Feast of Epiphany on the 6th of January. The word itself comes from the Latin adventus, meaning coming, which in turn is a translation of the Greek parousia, that refers to Christ's promised second coming, which is particularly a theme on Advent Sunday, before we then start preparing ourselves to mark his first coming at Christmas. So like Lent before Easter, so Advent before Christmas should be, as I said as I introduced the prayers of penitence, a penitential season, a season of preparation for the great festival. But unfortunately, that so very easily gets squeezed out because of the commercial pressures of Christmas. And of course also the needs of schools to celebrate Christmas before they break up for the end of term. And particularly with this congregation, when so many of you disappear at Christmas back to your home countries, we've already had the one person ask Sybil and I, are you going anywhere at Christmas? We have to remind them, we stay here and take services. I stay here and take services. I guarantee somebody else will ask the same question, but there we go. So it is a problem that Advent loses what it should be, that time of devotion and preparation. But in my sermon for Advent Sunday, I've got three challenges for you, and this is the first. Despite all the pressures to be busy, seek during this Advent season to try and find some time and space for quiet and reflection, to prepare yourself, myself, so that we are ready to once again welcome the Christ child, to more deeply understand what it meant for God to take human flesh and become incarnate, to come and dwell amongst us. See if in all the busyness you can find a bit of space to prepare yourself spiritually, ready to celebrate what Christmas really means. Not only does today mark the beginning of the church's year, it's also technically the beginning of year C. Does that mean anything to you? Well, it's year C of the cycle of readings in the lectionary that we follow, the Revised Common Lectionary used by so many churches, this pattern of readings over a three-year period that provides readings for Sundays and main festivals, and they're labelled years A, B and C. The concept behind the lectionary, for those of you who don't know, is that in year A, the gospel reading usually comes from Matthew, in year B from Mark, and in this year C, that we're starting from the Gospel of Luke. John is slotted in particularly in year B because Mark is rather a short gospel, and also at main festivals. You will hear the beginning of John chapter 1 on Christmas Eve, and we'll have part of John chapter 2 during Epiphany. But mainly this year we'll hear the gospel reading from the Gospel of Luke. If I'm honest, it's probably my favourite of the four gospels. Interesting things to note about it. Written by a Gentile, whereas the other three Gospels, one was certainly written by Jews. It was written for someone. If you read the opening verses of Luke's Gospel, it's dedicated to somebody called Theophilus, which means beloved of God. It appears to be he was a wealthy person who commissioned Luke to write the Gospel, gave him what we might call his publisher's advance to get on and do the work. Luke also acknowledges that others have written about Jesus before him. He's not afraid to use what they've written as well. He quotes a lot from the Gospel of Mark and probably from Q, a collection of sayings of Jesus. As I often say, the law of copyright wasn't around in the first century AD. He's very good also at putting the Gospel in a historical context, and you'll hear that with next week's Gospel reading from Luke chapter 3. Luke also has an interest in women. Don't take that the wrong way. But women feature quite strongly in his Gospel, Mary in particular, Mary the mother of Jesus. And he has a great interest in the poor and wants to show Jesus' concern for the poor. And staying with the publishing theme, of course, Luke is the only Gospel writer who wrote a sequel, The Acts of the Apostles, which follows on from the Gospel. Again, it's quite interesting. It's also dedicated to this man, Theophilus. So here's my second challenge, which I gave actually three years ago, I remember, when this same reading came up at the beginning of year C 3 years ago. Why not use Advent to read Luke's Gospel? Luke has 24 chapters. So if you read the first chapter today, you'd be reading the last chapter on Christmas Day. Which I think would be quite a good thing to do. One chapter a day. Yes, you'll end up reading about the crucifixion and the resurrection just as you reach Christmas, but then it's a reminder to us that the Christ child in the manger came into this world to give himself for us on the cross. He was born to die. What a bit of spiritual devotion during Advent. A chapter a day of Luke. I'm going to do it. I hope you, some of you might join me in doing so too. That's the second challenge. Shortly we'll say the creed and these words. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. Words that I guess many of us say very easily by rote when we recite the creed. But do we actually believe what we say? For on this Advent Sunday, we are asked to think seriously about Christ's promised second advent, second coming, and not as a helpless babe lying in a manger, but in glory to judge the living and the dead. So here is my third challenge. Both Paul, in his first letter to the Thessalonians, our second lesson, and Jesus, speaking to his disciples in our Gospel reading, tells the readers or hearers to live in the light of the second promised advent of Jesus, to be ready. The Thessalonians are told by Paul to increase and abound in love for one another and for all, which echoes what we heard two Sundays ago about provoking one another to love and good works. And he also calls the people to holiness. Strengthen your hearts in holiness. Why does he say that? That you may be blameless before God our Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus. Likewise, in our Gospel reading from Luke chapter 21, similar to what you find in Mark 13 or Matthew chapter 24, after all the various things that are going to happen have been listed, the passage ends with a final exhortation to be on your guard, be alert at all times, or as another translation puts it, be always on the watch, so that the day does not catch you unexpectedly. We are told, don't get distracted by too much partying, dissipation and drunkenness, as it is described. And it's very easy for that to happen pre-Christmas. All weighed down with the worries of this life, which is also quite easy to be done. But rather, be alert, be aware of what God is doing, wanting to do in your life and in the life of others. Therefore, at the advent of Advent, if you know what I mean, what I'm saying, I challenge you and myself three things. Create space to prepare for the celebration of Christ's first advent during this Advent season. Find or use that space to read Luke's Gospel, chapter a day. And thirdly, be alert and ready for that day when, as we shall sing in our last hymn today, every eye shall now behold him, robed in dreadful majesty. I wish you all a blessed Advent in preparation for the great festival of Christmas. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.